Welcome to Lala Beans. It's me, Lala, and this is episode 31. And I'm sitting here with Rex all the way from India. How are you?
I'm good. I'm glad to be here. I'm super excited for the show. Super excited for the episode. It's going to be amazing, I believe. Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. And you have your own show as well, right?
The Conscious Mantras. It's on YouTube, The Conscious Mantras.
Okay.
Yeah, and I'm super excited, and my Instagram is Baba Yaga with double A in the end, 33, Baba Yaga 33, and Conscious Mantras on YouTube. That's where I upload all my content, you know, on my Instagram or either my YouTube channel.
It is 10:10 p.m. here in Florida, and it is Sunday here.
Yeah,
it's Monday.
It's in Monday India. Here in India. Yeah, it's 7:40 a.m. here, right here.
Wow,
and it's amazing. Yeah, the time is just an illusion.
I know, we're time traveling as we're having this conversation.
Yeah. So. Different timelines, exactly.
So, we talked a little bit about some of the topics that we wanted to cover today, and we're going to go into. Seemingly to someone who might not be into all of these, might not see the connection, but they're all actually very connected. The Kundalini, the chakras, the Tesla vortex math, how music and what HC it's at can actually alter your consciousness, as well as I would love to get into what's happening in India and as it's all over the media, even in the States. So I'm going to let you take the charge on what topic you want to start at, and we can go from there.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you started the topic about India, what's happening in India. You know, so let's start with what's happening in India right here, because, you know, like that's how it all started. That's how I started my journey, you know. So basically, when I started my journey of shit posting on Instagram, you know, like doing memes and everything. I started on my personal Instagram. So where my colleagues were added, where my friends were added, where my all the people who I know from India, where I live here, know me, right? So I started posting few bunch of stuff, the conspiracies, so-called conspiracies and everything. And these people were like, why the hell you are only concerned about the America? Why are you not concerned about the your own country, India? So that's how I started connecting things globally. That's how I found the global conspiracy, the global cabal, or the deep state.
Right.
So I started looking into things. You know, I started looking into things. For example, when Trump was here in for his rally in 2019, I believe. Right. So when he was here in 2019 for the Namaste Trump rally in India, and there was a massive riot in Delhi riot. So it was funded by George Soros. And the exact protest, just like jazz protest or the Antifa protest, which were happening in America at the same time, there was a protest happening in India, also funded by George Soros, our favorite Jewish friend. So, yeah, so that's how I started connecting things. Then I went back to the history where the British Empire, the British Crown used to rule us. So I found that they established a central banking system here when they were here ruling us. They established the central banking system. They established a political party, which is one of the most powerful party right now in India, just like Democrats. It's the Indian National Congress. So we don't have the Congress just like you guys have the Congress. We just have a party with the name of Congress. So the Crown established the Indian National Congress Party, which ruled almost for like 60 or more than 60 years in India. And they sent pretty much every penny from India to Vatican. They sent every money to Roman Catholic churches because they are Roman Catholic. The main leaders of the party are Roman Catholics. So they sent all the money to the Italy and Vatican and to the churches of Vatican and Italy, the Roman Catholic churches. That's how, that's an interesting fact, that the Roman Catholic churches in India, they don't have to give any account books, or they don't have to do any audits for their accountings in India. They are all free. They are all tax free. They don't have to provide any audit to Indian government. They are free from all these obligations. How and why? Because they wanted the churches to send money through them to the Vatican. And they trafficked children too. I'm pretty sure they trafficked children too to Vatican through people like Mother Teresa. That's a huge red pill to swallow, that people think Mother Teresa was a Nobel Prize winner and she was the Nobel woman or something like that. But she wasn't even Indian. And she was friends with the Haitian family kings and Robert Maxwell. Just Lean Maxwell's father, right? So,
right.
Yeah, so that's how and I find it.
Also rumored to be Dr. Fauci's mother.
Yes, that's absolutely true.
They definitely look alike. It's just...
It does.
Once you start making these connections, and like, I think that I just saw one, George Soros and Greta Thunberg were related, and the picture actually was doctored, which is what I found when I looked into it. But regardless, having them side by side like that was like, they look very much alike. Yeah. And it wouldn't surprise me, because that's all she is. She's a propaganda tool.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like these people like Gates and Soros are all the elite Rothschild or Rockefellers or someone from that family, because that's how they do. That's how these elite families do. They just, spread their family tree with different names. So everyone will not blame the main families, the Rothschilds and Rockefellers, and they will blame the Gates, the Soros, the Clintons, everyone, right? So that's how they plan. That's how they do everything. And I believe there might be some black hats or some elite connection in India, direct elite connection in India with the family, you know, like these political parties. I don't know, maybe, you know, but because I know that there are white hats in India, that's how I started my journey. Anyways, yeah, so that's how I started my journey. I started connecting all the dots from the global conspiracies and everything. That's how I am into this movement now. I connect all the things because it's all the same. They play the same playbook. They play with the same playbook. They have same ideas. They have same people. It's just, you know, like if it's America, it's black versus white. The racial discrimination, that's how they ignite the war and the tension amongst the citizen. They do with Hindu versus Muslims here in India. So that's same, you know, like different names, different concepts, but the same essence of ideas, right? So that's how they do.
Same playbook.
Yeah, that's how they do. So yeah, that was pretty much how I started my own journey. And I now let me tell you what is happening right now in India. There's nothing happening in India.
Right. So I like being in this movement, you have to kind of keep up with things. But at the same time, I don't really read any news just to save myself from the propaganda, because regardless if you know it's fake or not, you're still going to be put in some sort of spell from the words in itself and the fear mongering. And I know that we were talking about that video where the guy was like, "It smells like death. I'm coughing on death. They're burning bodies behind me." And it's like, dude, come on. Like, it was so fake to like people like you and I. But tell people who might not even know what the media is saying is going on in India, and then what it's like actually happening living there.
Yeah, like that's why we are the news now. That's how, you know, like if I don't understand anything, I'll call you, you know, like you'll tell me about the Arizona or Maricopa, you know, like everything, what's happening right now there. And that's how you ask me. That's how it works, because we cannot trust the mainstream media. And that's how they played. So the first thing they did everyone caught that they were lying. Even the New York Post lied about this video getting leaked. People are dying on the streets. That was a video of some gas leak or something, where like few people were having problem while breathing in that particular region, that particular area. And that video is like 3 years old. Not even when not. COVID did not even started, right? So that video is 3 years old. Another video which went viral also 2 years or 3 years old. And about the cemeteries, the video which you talked about, that these reporters are covering the news that, oh my God, look at this and everything. So let me tell you the conspiracy behind it. What they did was that Delhi is the capital of India. So Delhi have the better health infrastructure compared to any state around it, right? Around its borders and everywhere. So everyone from around the states going to Delhi, coming to Delhi for the better treatment, in order to get the better treatment. So you can say that there are like 7 to 8 different states from which the people are coming to Delhi for the better treatment, and they are not getting it. So that's how it's getting overcrowded. And there are only 3 cemeteries opened for everyone. Open for the people who lives in Delhi and the people who are coming to Delhi, and if their relatives or the loved ones are dying. So I can agree that 126 people died, you know, like how that video said that 126 people died. Yes, 126 people died, but out of how much? 10,000. Out of 10,000, 5,000. So that's how, and that too with the wrong treatment and waiting for the false injection, the remdesivir injection, which they call. And even the All India Institute of Medical Science, the central medical science institutions, came out and told us that don't wait for the injections. These are the few cheapest drugs called hydroxychloroquine and the ivermectin. If you are taking the doses of these two drugs, you can be saved 99.19%, you know, just a 0.1% death rate. And that's what media is not talking about. Yeah,
right.
People are getting COVID positive because the testing is happening, right? And 99% of the people who getting admitted into hospitals are getting back home very well, you know. Even my grandma is like around 75 years old, something. She is right now COVID positive, and she don't feel a thing. She don't feel a fever. She don't feel a body pain or anything, you know. It's just different treatments, different things which are happening to them, you know, and not COVID. It's a flu season, so maybe flu, pneumonia, or something else. So they are giving the false treatment. That's what Ames said, that you are giving the cocktail of drugs to the patient on day one, where you don't even know if it's a COVID positive or something else. So when you mix so many drugs on day one, people will gonna die, patients will gonna die. And the doctors are not understanding it. I don't know why, what they're trying to do, or what they're trying to establish. But yeah, those are all fake numbers, fake news, fake SOS calls made to the government, to the medias, that hospitals are overcrowding. You know, like we don't have beds, we don't have oxygen or anything. No, it's all cool.
Right. The oxygen.
Yeah.
That was one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, we need oxygen. We need oxygen. Just like, oh, we needed ventilators.
Yes.
I was just wondering, like, why India? Why were they focusing on India? Because I feel like they could have picked any country to kind of use it as propaganda. Do you have any thoughts on why?
Yeah, I can, you know, like that's an interesting question, you know, like that, because our Prime Minister Modi is a white hat, I believe. He's a total white hat, and he's slapping China with his schemes, you know, like go vocal for local, don't buy China products. He literally banned like around more than 100 apps, more than 100 Chinese apps in India, like really, really famous apps. To even TikTok, we have banned TikTok.
Yeah.
We don't have TikTok, we don't have WeChat, or we don't have any other Chinese app. whatever in the name of Chinese or China, we have banned all the softwares, all the apps. So we are going local for vocal. We are going vocal for local. We are buying local products. We are buying local products from local businesses. We don't want China products. We are doing that, and we don't want any help from China. We rejected any every help from China. So that's why I think, you know, they are targeting. Okay. They are targeting India, because India is coming out strong, because China have covered us from everywhere. If you look from the east, they already have themselves China. And if you go here, Pakistan, if you go down, we have Bangladesh who's covering us, and the Sri Lanka who's covering us, you know. So it's like it's called the pearl of round or something like that. So that's how China tried to capture us from all the areas, all around the borders. So that's why Prime Minister Modi went out and became friends with President Trump, Prime Minister of Japan, Australia. So that's how he made a global connection. So, you know, like if China attacks, for example, you know, like when China attacked the Gulwam Valley, US was the first one to send the troops. That's why, because we know China will gonna attack anytime. That's why we right. have like border securities, and US is always helping us, you know, like in just one call, and US will, you know, like when Trump was here, it was just like one call and the troops will be there to help us, you know. So that's how, you know, like and even Trump tweeted, you know, like Trump tweeted this thing that India and America will together will gonna destroy the invisible enemy. Who's the invisible enemy? We all know, right? So that's how India got targeted. And it's all right. When you fight for the good, you will get targeted, right? So that's how, like, exactly. I think India is coming into the picture very strong. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Border security, what's that? We don't know here anymore. And you are actually moving to the States, and yes. legally. So how has that process been for you?
Well, right.
What did you have to do? And
So, well, right now, Biden have just closed the borders for India, you know, like all the embassies here. The visa process is on hold right now. They are not giving the interviewing slots to the people who for the visas and everything. So like, yeah, it was started like this, you know, like I had two options, either work visa or either student visa, right? So I can come legally by these two situations, but for work visa, it will gonna I had to wait for like more than 2 years or something, but I didn't want to wait because I wanted to see the action from myself there, you know, like getting there. So because soon we're gonna see some more action, and I'm pretty sure we're gonna see some more action, you know. So that's why I thought, you know, like let's get legally, but try some loophole that like student visa. I will get admit from one of the big institute in America. I got admitted. I got three admits. One was from University of Texas, Corpus Christi, University of Internet. I think it's in Miami International Florida University, and one is from the University of North Texas. So I am going to University of North Texas, Dallas, because you know Texas is cool, right? So that's why I'm planning to go to Texas. I am into my loan procedure for the education loan and everything, and I'm gonna take the education loan a little bit, you know, like to show the amount in my bank to the visa officers and everything, so that they will allow me to get into the American borders and everything. So, yeah, that's how I'm planning to do, you know, like for 2 years, I'll be studying. Well, yeah, it's like a...
Are you able to work while you study as well?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think international students can work part time, and there's a term called CPT. CPT means, you know, like if you have an experience or something like that. And if you get the job in your desired industry, for example, if I'm doing the MBA and if I get the MBA related job, I can work for like 40 hours a week or don't, no problem, right? Like full time. So that's how it will gonna be, you know. And I'm simultaneously, meanwhile, I'm gonna study and I'm gonna get the I'm gonna apply for the H-1B visa, which is work visa, after my student visa gets expired. So that's how, you know, like I'm gonna get into the States, and that's how I'm planning to do it, you know. So it's pretty cool, you know. Like it's pretty expensive. I cannot deny that. It's pretty expensive shifting to the whole new country where you don't know people from, right? And it's a pretty big decision. But yeah, I'm ready for it, you know.
Well, I have to say your English is pretty good. Like, does everyone in India speak English as well?
Well, yeah. Most of them, yes, because, you know, so Indians know English. They just can't speak. Because we don't speak English like more often, right? We speak Hindi. We speak our own native languages, right? So I know like around 7 languages. One is English, one is Hindi.
Wow.
And few other local languages and everything. So not the global languages, but the local languages. So, but yeah. Still,
okay.
Yeah. So I still know like 7 languages or something, and I can understand. I can speak like around 6 to 7 languages, and I can understand almost every language we have in India. And we have around like more than 30,000 languages in India. A lot of languages, you know, all of them like mixed with something, you know, some fusion, you know, like for example Hindi and Sanskrit. And every state have local languages, every tribes have their own languages, every villages have their own languages.
And I think Hebrew is actually one of the oldest languages, but I think Sanskrit is also an ancient language.
Sanskrit,
as well.
Sanskrit is one. Yeah, Hebrew is oldest, you know. Yeah, one of the oldest. And Sanskrit is one of them also, because Sanskrit is the mother of all the languages. English is derived from Sanskrit. German is derived from Sanskrit. Even French is also derived from Sanskrit. And Spanish, which I think is derived from French. So technically, it is also derived from Sanskrit, right? So it's the mother of all languages, you know. That's how it is, you know. When you say brother in English, it's brata in Sanskrit. So
okay,
matra in Sanskrit, mother in English. So it's like so much similarities.
Everything's related. Yeah. So I want to, if you've listened to my show, you know I like to talk about religion, and I looked into Hinduism a little bit in the years of my study, but never deep dived into it. And I just looked it up before a conversation on a very surface level, because I wanted to hear it from you. And so pardon my ignorance about the religion, because I don't know much about it. But so Hinduism, I did see, is the third biggest religion after Christianity and Islam. It's in India, it is like the Christianity. So everyone is Hindu, just like most people are Christian here. And I just want to talk a little bit about it. So what, if you had to put it in a nutshell, what are the beliefs of Hinduism?
Well, if you are a true Hindu, you know that Hinduism, not a religion. Literally, it's not a religion. Yeah, it's like a way of living, which we call the Sanatana Dharma. Sanatana Dharma is like simple existence of your own dharma. You know, like what dharma is? Oh, your job. Dharma is the Sanskrit word for job, literally for job. You know, so that's what's your dharma? What's your job right now? To provide best information, right? To provide best information to the people. You know, what you know, you want to provide to the people. That's why you are doing the podcast. That's why you bring me or other people, you know, the like-minded people on the show, so that you can spread the information, spread the collective consciousness, which we call right. So that's how Hinduism is the oldest, not one of the oldest, but the oldest. We can say that Judaism or the Jewish religion is also one of the oldest. Yeah, it is. So, but Hinduism does not comes under the category of religion. People call it a religion now because, okay, so that's what happened. When Hindus were here, in our land. So a lot of people tried to convert us. Portuguese tried to convert us. Britishers tried to convert us. Muslims, the Mughals, which they used to rule us, you know, like these people used to rule us, and everyone who used to rule us tried to convert us because they knew. Even Germans tried to convert us. The Kashmiri Pandits, you know, like who used to live in the East Himalayan regions and everywhere. So all of us, all of them tried to convert us. So that's why now people talk about Hinduism as a religion a little bit, because they want to show the authority now. Because if it's not a religion, it's no authority, right? So but it's not like that. Hinduism is like a way of living, like how you live your life, like just like spirituality, you know. Spirituality is not a religion, right? So just like that, Hinduism is not a religion, just a way of living. It tells you, it asks you to do these certain kind of thing in order to get these certain kind of results. For example, you know, like how your karmic cycle works. If you do good deeds, you will get back a good deeds, right? If you do bad to someone, you'll get back the bad things in your life, right? So that's how the Hinduism believes into the karmic circle, that it's up to you who you want to be, a good person or a bad person. So that's all, you know, like all the legends and epics, like Mahabharata, Ramayana, if you have heard about the Bhagavad Gita, right? These all mm-hmm. talks about a true person, how you want to be a true person towards the humanity, you know? It does not talk about the religion at all. It does not. So that's how, you know, like Lord Krishna talked about how you can be a good person, how you can be a person with a good dharma and good karma, right? Because that's how you will be recognized in future. In Kali Yuga, it's a Kali Yuga, it's an era. So this is the present era. So Lord Krishna said that you will be recognized by your work and what you do to the society. That's how you're going to be recognized, not with your religion. So
I love that. Yeah. I did read a little about exactly what you're saying about it being a way of life that there embraces multiple ideas that could be seen as like a brother of other religions. The reincarnation, which reminded me of like Buddhism, how you keep reincarnating until you learn your lessons and go back to being the one.
The life cycle,
So I guess what would differentiate it from other Eastern religions, and is there like a God that you believe in? Not necessarily like the God, like the creator, but someone similar to like Jesus Christ in Christianity.
Oh yeah. Well, there are like more than 36 million gods in India.
I read that, but I also saw mixed
same.
Things.
Yeah. These all are same, you know, like if there is a God called Indra, who is just similar to the Greek God Zeus, he's all similar to the Greek god Zeus, you know, like the god of thunder and, you know, like god of weather or something like that, right? So
how is there 36 million gods? How is there 36 million?
So not literally 36 millions, but, you know, like, okay. Yeah. So when you have Indra, you have so many different names for him. So people around, for example, I worship Indra as a name of Indra. So Indra have so many different names. So maybe someone in the eastern part of the India worshipping him with some other name, with the same qualities. A god, they are worshipping a god with the same qualities but with different name, right? So that will count too. So that's how it's 36 million, because they have so many different names for one god.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's how it is. So yeah, if you talk about that, who is the most important, there is the most important is Lord Krishna. He's the most important, you know. If you want to be really close to God, Krishna is the only one who you should worship. But that doesn't mean the other gods like Ganesha, if you have heard about Lord Ganesha, Shiva, Brahma and Vishnu. So Shiva, Brahma and Vishnu are the Holy Trinity. Brahma is the creator of life. Shiva is the destroyer, we say, but he is like the destroyer of illusion, destroyer of not like the physical life, but you know, like how when you get your third eye open, third eye awaken, you see that all the things around you is just an illusion. So your life in front of you is shattered, right? So that's how Shiva is connected. He's a destroyer of your life, but not physically, but the life you have in front of you, the idea of life you have in front of you. So he just kills the illusion of life. So he's Shiva. And Vishnu is like a neutral god, or you can say something, you know, like he's a worshipper of Shiva. Yeah, he worships Shiva too, you know, like he's one of the Holy Trinity, but he still worships Shiva. So you can say that Shiva is the most powerful god. One of the most powerful god. He's the creator of this earth. He's the creator of all the elements we have around. We believe that he's the creator of all the elements we have right now, like air, ether, fire, illusion. That is the Sanskrit name for illusion is Maya. He's also the creator of Maya, the illusion. He have created so many other elements, you know, even gold. That in Hinduism we say that the human beings came from the golden womb. The golden egg. So that's why we have, that's why we believe gold is really sacred for us. That's why we.
What about the cow? Why is the cow sacred?
So cow is sacred because, you know, like, Hinduism or India is like one of the only country who were closed to their habitat. To the nature, right? So we used to live with if you come to India, you will still see monkeys roaming around here, right? not everywhere, because now like society have grown out of everywhere, so they don't come into the
take over.
Yeah, society have take over all the things, but that's why they go back, they have like they went back to jungles and everything. But we were really close to our habitats, so you know, like something interesting about cow is that if you pet a cow, and if someone is died in your family, or if there is something bad news coming in your house, in your home, the cow will gonna sense that before it happen. So if you are crying, your pet cow will gonna cry. If you are happy, your cow will be happy, and you don't even have to tell them. You don't even have to tell them. You can keep them miles away from you. They will still gonna sense your feelings. That's how we are connected. And we say it's a motherly feeling, because this feeling which I'm talking about, only mothers can do that, right? Only mothers can know that their children is facing some problem, their children is worried about something, their children are not happy, or if they're happy or not, right? So that's a motherly feeling. So if we have a motherly feeling for some species or some habitat, how can we kill them, right? So that's how it started, you know. So yeah, in Hinduism we eat meat. Yeah, there are some in Ayurveda they have talked about what to eat, how to eat, you know, like even the meat, when you should eat the roasted meat. This is the time of the spring, so you should eat the roasted meat. So we don't deny to, you know, like we don't ask you to stop meat, but we just don't eat beef, which is the cow.
Okay, right? I was gonna say, but you don't eat cow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I know that all of the farm animals actually that we eat in America are a lot more intelligent than people would like to think. And I was watching something recently about like our consciousness and how more far reached it is than people understand, that animals have that sense. Like a dog would know as their owner was coming home before, you know, even before they were thinking about coming home, the dog knows. So that just is like a connection that we have that's not on a physical level. I find all, regardless if you want to categorize it as a religion or not, I just find all of the different beliefs is so interesting.
Yeah,
and I love, that's what I like about the Eastern religions in general, is because they're not like believe in Jesus or go to hell for eternity. It's like, it's not fear-based. It just seems more natural. Although I also do think that they both have pieces to the puzzle. And let's start talking about, well, like our chakras and Kundalini. And I do think that that's also kind of folded into Hinduism in a sense. Would you say so?
Yes, it is. It is. It is. Yeah. So, you know, like, I'm glad you talked about the animals, how they are more spiritually conscious, right? So that's a shame for us that if even our God is, even our dog is more consciously aware around this, about the surrounding, and we are not. We are so disconnected from the surrounding. We are so disconnected from our own selves, right? So it's a shame for us, but still, you know, like, we are working on it, because the human humanity was always the experimental rats, you know, like the lab rats for these people, you know, like these elites. So that's why we cannot blame the humanity. That's why we cannot blame the people. We cannot blame ourselves. But yeah, it's time to get our powers back. So let me take you a while back, but when the whole humanity was started. So Shiva is the one who invented spirituality. Lord Shiva is the one who invented spirituality, and Lord Shiva can be seen as two things. For the traditional household people, like just normal, who believes in God, who goes to temple and everything, believe Shiva is the God. Lord Shiva is the God. But the people like yogis, the spiritual seekers, spiritual path speakers, they believe that Shiva is one of the highest being, not a God, but one of the highest being who was here on earth during some time, and he mass awakened the, you know, whole world with his knowledge, with his wittiness, with his just his energy. So Shiva is everything. Shiva, you know, like how there will be something missing everywhere, but nothing is everywhere. No thing is everywhere. So Shiva is nothing, which is everywhere. So, so that's how we connect Shiva with spirituality, that Shiva invented the spirituality, and there were seven sages. Now you can connect these numbers. Seven sages can be the seven planets, right? The seven chakras. So these all connects the seven important planets we have, the seven sages and of Shiva, the Saptarishis we call in Sanskrit, and the seven chakras we have in our body. So, you know, like Shiva was one day meditating, and it's been like more than 3 months. He's still, and he's not moving. He's just into the meditative state, you know, like it's happening like more than 3 months. It's 4 months, 6 months passed away, but he's still sitting. So these were the, so a lot of sages get to know that there is a being who's in a higher dimension. So they all went to him and asked him to teach about the spirituality, right? So he ignored them for like years. He ignored them for years. So most of the sages went back to their places. But these were the seven ones who never went back. They just insisted Shiva every time they meet him. So Shiva said, okay, I'm going to teach you what spirituality is and what power we hold, because this power, the Kundalini, the chakras, it's not for everyone, to be honest. You know, we can work on our own individual chakras, you know, for the crown chakras, the pineal gland, the Mooladhara, the root chakra, the navel chakra, the solar chakra, which we call, so we can work on them individually, but it's really tough. It's really, really, really tough to get your Kundalini awakened, your third eye awakened, right? You can sense all the chakras, because all these chakras are connected to your one of the glands, right? So that's why you can feel all the chakras. Doesn't matter if you have awakened your Kundalini or not. So earlier it was like 114 chakras Okay, so there are actually 114 chakras out of two which are away from the human existence. Humans cannot get those two flowers, right? And remaining 112, from which four are the flower of lives. These are just flowers of blossoms, you know, like just which you have inside your bodies. So remaining 108 was divided equally into seven parts to these seven sages. So people, you know, like people, there are every chakras in our body, you know, like every corner we have chakras, but they divided the seven main chakras, and these seven chakras have individual 21 or 26 chakras inside them. So that's how it works. So these seven sages have different knowledge about all their individual chakras. So that's how it started. So now the interesting part comes in. The Mooladhara chakra, the root chakra, it's connected with all of our chakras. The root chakra is connected. So there are three main chakras which we talk. One is root chakra, then the middle one, which is heart chakra, and the one which have the thousand lotus petals, the crown chakra, the shastra, the pineal gland or the third eye chakra. So, you know, that's interesting, which Nikola Tesla also found, that when we connect all these chakras to the herds, you know, like one of the herds music, you know, we solfeggio music, which you call, these all chakras have three numbers. Like, for example, root chakra is 369 hertz. To awake your root chakra, you can listen to the 369 hertz music, right? And if you want to awake the heart chakra, you can listen to 639 hertz chakra, 639 for the healing frequencies, for the healing heart frequency, right? And when we talk about the crown chakra, it's 936 hertz. So it's all 936.
All in the Tesla numbers. Yeah, so all. I want to back up a little bit because I always think about some of the people who listen to my show. You know, I talk about like a variety of topics, and for people like you and I, it's seemingly I've known about my chakras probably since I was like 14. I started reading into this stuff, and I've said before, like, sacred geometry was one of my very first rabbit holes that I ever got into. So I'm like very familiar, but I was explaining some of the sacred geometry to some people in one of my group chats, and it opened my eyes to how a lot of people have no idea what that is.
Yeah.
We live and communicate in these truther communities, and a lot of people are so hyper-focused on the political stuff. And even if they are on the spiritual stuff, there's so much to it. There's so many layers. So just backing up a little bit and explaining what a chakra is, which actually, you know, in Sanskrit means disc or wheel.
Yeah.
So to illustrate it to the listeners, it's an actual wheel is what it looks like, a circle going up the base of your spine, starting at the root, which is like at the tail, right? Is it at the tail of your spine?
Yeah.
And then the crown chakra is on top.
On top.
And they all are responsible for different parts of you. So like if you have a blocked chakra, it can affect you. So my favorite example of that is the throat chakra.
Oh.
So if you have like a really hard time speaking your mind and you can't communicate effectively, you probably have a blocked throat chakra.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then to connect that with the Kundalini, well, it's a coil at the base of your spine, and how he was talking about the Kundalini awakening, it would come as a serpent and circle around the chakras, which is also a symbol in like medicine. So if you think about an ambulance truck, they literally have this symbol, and it ties back into like how they know all of that, like the secret societies, they know all of this, they don't share it. And I think that's why they would want to take over Hinduism, because you guys are very connected to these topics and trains of thought.
Yes.
Whereas Christianity completely cuts that off. In fact, they take it a step further and say it's witchcraft.
Yeah.
So I mean, I just had in the group chat that you just came into.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think you replaced this girl actually, because she was talking about acupuncture and how it was witchcraft.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh God, this is not the place for you, girl.
Yes,
like,
yeah.
Because we're energy bodies, and that's all acupuncture does is affect that. So all of the different chakras that we were talking about, there is a shit ton more, but like the seven is what most people like you need to start at.
Yeah, seven is the these seven chakras are the only chakras you have to worry about. You have to work
in about. This physical realm.
Yeah.
In this physical 3D realm.
When you work on all these seven chakras, you are working on all of the chakras. You don't have to work personally to every 108 chakras. You can work on the seven chakras, and you are basically working on all the 108 chakras. So it's completely okay. And I'm glad you talked about the this spine, these snakes and everything. So if you see that our whole existence, the whole humanity's existence, depends on the one of the most important part of our bodies, which separate us from animals. Animals have this, we have this, the erect spine. So it's like a root for everything. It helps in respiratory systems. It helps us in digestion system. It helps us with all the physical activities and everything, all the mental activities and everything. It's a root. So it is what Kundalini is, erecting your spine just like this, not from this to this. That's how you correct your chakras, and you get from this to this, from laying down to the, you know, like if you talk about if there is an evolution from monkeys to human, you know, like that's the stupid theory, but still,
right.
Yeah, still. But animals are like this, you know, like laying down the flat, but we are like this, standing erect. So
mm-hmm.
That's how it, like snakes and everything, that's how the DNA is like, right? The DNA is like snakes overcoming, right? So it's super interesting. And I think, you know, like I believe that Christianity also have all these things. Christianity also contains all these knowledge, because I have read so many books, like Devil's Pulpit is one of the book which connects astrology to the Bible, you know, like the 12 apostles, 12 zodiacs, you know, and everything, and 12 apostles of Jesus, right? And 12 planets and everything, 12 months and everything. And I remember you did the episode of astrotheology.
Right.
Astrotheology, it's all the same thing, one of the same thing, right? And I just read the book of Enoch, one of the amazing book one should read, you know. It's all same. That's what I think. It's all same.
Yeah.
Like Christians are the one I believe, and the Christianity is one of the religion I believe is like most, you know, like
hidden.
Yeah. Like they have just fucked up everything while translating. Right. They gave you the false interpretations of the Bibles. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Christians are facing this problem, and a lot of Christians are just don't know, and they're just following everything, like what the churches are saying, right? So I believe that they failed to do this in India because of the language, the Sanskrit. Because in order to learn the mother language, you have to be, you know, like it's really tough.
Well, I think a lot about that, like I mentioned earlier, how words can be used as like spells.
Yeah.
And we talked about how animals have higher consciousness in that way. And I think like even talking about putting, like having humans speak all these different languages. And what is that story in the Bible where they all spoke, like it was a fight and then they all came out, Tower of Babel.
Oh yeah.
And they all came out speaking the different languages. I literally think that that's one of the biggest attacks on us being able to disconnect with that. Because imagine if none of us talked and we had to speak telepathically, because that's just the way things were. that's part of the mystique that we're capable of, that they try to make it seem like we're not. I mean, think of dolphins. Dolphins can do it. Whales can do it. And I think that there's like this misconception as human beings that we're better than any other animal in the kingdom of Earth. And when really we're just the biggest dumbasses, which are already like part artificial intelligence with our phones glued in our hands constantly. So that's just my rant.
Yeah.
On that.
Yeah. No. Yeah, that's true. You know, like, interestingly, when you talked about the spells and everything from words and everything. So let me tell you one thing, a few interesting facts. The first, that in Sanskrit, we have mantras, we have chants, right?
Right.
We have chant for all our seven chakras to open the, for, to open them, right? Om, all these are the sound waves, the vibrations which we give, which comes from the from our ear, or yeah, this throat, drums, right? So so you can vibrate all these things and you can communicate. That's how Nikola Tesla said it, you know, like if you want to understand the universe, you can understand it in the three simple words: vibration, frequency, and energy. That's all the human beings are. You know, that's when you talk about animals, how animals fulfill their life, when they fulfill their survival instincts. They need food, they need shelter, just a place to live or something, that's it. You know, like they don't need anything else. Their survival ends, their life desires end when they get food and shelter. That's it. So if we talk about humans, our desire starts after we complete our survival instincts. If we have a house, if we have food, if we have clothes to wear, apart from these three things, all of the other things are choices you make. All of the other things are choices you make, right? It's up to you what you will gonna do to this world. It's up to you. If you want to do good, you will do good. If you want to do bad, you will do bad, because all of them are choices if your survival instincts are fulfilled. So humans are the only one who desire for more after their survival instincts for some reason, because we are higher intellectual beings, but the language have, you know, suppressed us because we don't understand the universe language. You know, like they say that we breathe 15 times in 1 minute, right? But when you start, when you do the breathwalking and everything, and when you start breathing 3 or 4 times in a minute, when you do that, when you have the control over your breathing techniques and everything, that's when you understand the universe languages. You will gonna understand what animals are saying to you, what plants are saying to you, what the universe is trying to say to you. So that's how.
And
yeah,
the animals, they are a lesson in mindfulness.
Yeah,
because they're constantly living in the moment. And humans, we have consciousness, but we also have self-consciousness.
Yes.
And it's funny you said that about our clothes, because that to me is like the story of Adam and Eve, is we were born into like self-consciousness, like, oh my God, I'm naked. Like before that, why did we care? We didn't, because we were just living in the moment. And that's a source of great dissatisfaction for people. Like so many people are like worried about what others are going to think of them, that it paralyzes them so much.
Yes.
And then the breath work is crazy. Yes. Like if anyone listening or watching, if you have not tried breath work, it's insane.
You should.
And yeah. it's like a natural high. You feel yourself buzzing. And that's when I feel my chakras like the most. You can actually feel them like working. And that's what it does. I don't believe that I've had a Kundalini awakening. I think that you would know. But that's like the ultimate goal, because
you don't need Kundalini awakening. You know, like if you, so the thing is, that's how it works. If you have love inside your heart, it's connected to the heart chakra, right? If you have love towards the humanity, towards everything you see, you watch, it's because of the heart chakra. So that means your heart chakra is activated, right? If you feel, mm-hmm. if you feel the pain, if you feel the love, if you feel happiness around your heart, around yourself, you know, if you are happy all the time, don't know why you are happy, but you're still happy. So you feel loved and everything. Your heart chakra is awakened, right? And sometime you say, when you do pranayanam, when you do breath working from your navel, it's your navel, right? It's your in and out breathing. So right. Navel is the source of your energy, the solar connector, you can say, you know, like is the solar energy is directly connects your navel. And that's why we say, you know, like it's fire and heat, you know, like that's why it's connected to solar chakra. So because you are breath working, you know, you are walking, you're doing, you're creating, you're igniting fire inside your body, right? You're igniting warmth inside your body. So that means your solar chakra is working fine if you're breath working and if you're doing it right. So you can work individually for your chakras. You don't need the Kundalini awakening, you know, because Kundalini awakening means, literally means sacrificing or ending all your materialistic needs. Everything, your family, your loved ones, money,
yeah.
job, everything, and going to the like mountains like Himalayas and just doing the
right.
sadhana, doing the meditation. Don't know what you're going to eat because you don't need food. For three, four months, you're not going to need the food. That's how your Kundalini works, because your body is now full of other energies that you don't need the energy from food.
Right. It's it was said a primal force yes. of awakening. So that word primal goes back into like living as an animal, like only worried on like your needs and not your wants.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I was doing some readings on the vortex map.
Oh yeah.
And it's just so cool. Like, cool.
Yeah.
So Nikola Tesla was a famous physicist. He had crazy inventions, which were likely hidden from us, that all of the secret societies at the top are using against us. I think that they have like the heart attack guns
yeah.
that can like literally kill someone like that from energy. And I think that the same way they took the 9/11 towers down was Tesla technology. So they're using it with bad intentions, obviously, but exactly. that was never his intent. He used to work on things like a force field to be able to stop any attacks on a country,
yeah.
but he wanted to release it to like all of the countries. So every country had it. So it would be kind of like stalemate or whatever it's called. And no one could attack anybody because we all knew that everyone had the force fields and it would just essentially end all war. But obviously that's not what happened.
Yeah, of course. yeah, obviously.
but to get into like his vortex math, it's said to be the divine code.
Yes.
Mathematics is yes. said to be the language with which God has written the universe. And like you said earlier, in the words of Nikola Tesla, if you want to find the secrets of the universe, you must think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration.
Yes.
So I'm going to go ahead and describe a little bit the best I can for the listeners at least, and exactly what it looks like. So if you take a circle and let's say like it was a clock, but like a 9-point clock, the top would be 9 where the 12 is, and then you would just circle it around. So it creates a sequence that can be repeated into infinity, essentially, where the 1, 2, 4, 5, 7, and 8 will describe the physical world and 3, 6, 9 describe the non-physical. So they govern the physical world. Examples, sound, frequency, vibration, energy. And I don't know if I necessarily want to go in. I'll just go into it a little, but when you double the numbers, so like 1 + 1 = 2, you would connect the lines and so on. So if you just look up vortex math, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. And it creates different shapes, one of them being a triangle.
Yes.
And it's just, it's simple math that repeats in literally everything in our universe. And it's insane. I mean, the way that you even just brought up the different hertz of the three chakras, the main chakras, were all in 369. So that's powerful, and it's not by accident.
No, not at all. Yeah. So that's that, you know, like when you talk, when it's like how degrees are, right? You know, like if we talk about the number nine, it's 360 degree, right? The whole circle, you know, it's a 360 degree.
Right.
So 3 + 6 + 0 is 9. If you talk about, you know, like people are talking about 555 a lot, a couple of days back. So what's 555? It's 320 degree. 3 + 2 + 0. It's 5. And it was the fifth it was a fifth month, right? It was a fifth month, fifth day of the fifth month. So that's how we connected it. 320 degree. I think Chris Brown shared something like that, the vortex math. So I was like, oh my God, like this guy is really red pilling some people. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they all know that, like in the secret societies, they, like, if you look at the Freemason symbol, it's the 369 is what the symbol is. And I read that the G in the Freemason, which I've never even realized, like I've seen that symbol so many times that I'm never like, why is it G? It has multiple meanings, but one of them is actually geometry. And that's exactly what the vortex math is. It plays into sacred geometry. So it's just, it's insane. It's the fabric of our universe. And so how would you relate that to everything else that we're talking about, like on a personal development, spiritual level?
Well, you know, like it all goes back to how the universe is created. I don't believe in Big Bang theory. I literally don't believe in Big Bang theory.
I don't either.
You think some explosions happened and everything was created so beautifully, so symmetrically, you know, like how us, how we humans are, you know, like how flowers are, how these, all these other symmetrical things around us are, you know, so it's not an explosion or something like that. So that's how it is, you know, like the God, it's like a mirror or something that we talk, right? It's, that's why, you know, like, I think I talked about this thing in my last interview with Wake Up Wizards, you know, so I talked about that. Everything is you. Everything is you. So what you see, you become. So, you know, like if you, I don't want to go deep in, down the rabbit hole of the vortex mathematics, because it literally requires the slideshows or everything. It literally requires a presentation kind of a thing. So we can explain them, you know, but if I want to explain it in simple words and in, you know, like
how it relates to like everyday living.
Right. Yeah. So just as I told you, the frequencies, the hertz, the solfeggio frequencies we have, it's like, I already told you that 369 is one of the connection of main of our main chakras. And you know, like when we see, so let me tell you one thing. When I was a kid, you know, like I used to hate numbers, literally used to hate numbers. If you will give me like some random numbers to sum, you know, like add 17 plus 17, I will be sitting like this, and I don't know. I'll say, I don't know how to do that. So that's bad. That bad how I was, you know. So because numbers were used to like crawling like spiders in front of me if I in my math test or something like that. I had a phobia with numbers or something. Yeah. So but when I realized that it's all geometry. It's all geometry, not, and even, you know, like the Vedic scriptures, Vedic text also confirms that. One of my friend introduced me with this theory of Pythagoras theorem. Okay, so what Pythagoras theorem is? Pythagoras theorem is a combination of senses, trivium and quadrivium. What is quadrivium? Quadrivium is in four parts. It's divided into four parts, as it sounds like quadrivium. It is divided into four parts: algebra, geometry, music, and space. So, what's algebra? The science of understanding numbers. What is geometry? The science of understanding shapes. What is space. It's normal, right? Space, what is space around us, right? It's space. So, and what is music? It's a combination. It's a science of understanding numbers and shapes around the space. So that's how this quadrivium continues, right? And when we go up to the trivium, it's a triangle, right? A plus B plus A square plus B square equals to C square, right? So when we go to the trivium, it's logic, grammar, logic, and rhetoric. What's grammar? When we make sentences, it's grammar. Right now, we are using grammar to make sentences and using logic to make a sensible sentence so people can understand, right? All of these things coming out of my drum, the throat, vibrating, and our audiences are understanding that, right? How they are doing that. Frequencies. That these numbers and shapes coming out in space, and they're hearing it and they're understanding everything. So you remember like how music have these shapes, you know, like music frequencies have shapes and everything. So it's like a geometry, right? It's like a geometry. And when we go to the rhetoric, it's like wisely saying something. Rhetoric is like poets, you know, poets, how poets use, how poets use their, the words and influence people, right? Right? Because if you are listening to music, if you are listening to lyrics, you know, and if they hit you, they hit you so hard that you get motivated, yet you get depressed, right? So that's all the rhetoric feelings, how you present your words, how you present your ideas differently, artistically, right? And then come our five senses, all of our five senses. So it is the Pythagoras theorem, or which we call, and which we can connect to the geometry, which we can connect to the sacred geometry, because.
And what is this that you're talking about? What is this called?
It's simple Pythagoras theorem. It's like Pythagoras explained this triangle like this.
Oh, okay. So that's what we were learning in middle school.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like we used to hate Pythagoras theorem. We used to hate Pythagoras, but he was the master. He was a master of everything.
I actually like want to look into that now. But like I was the opposite. I loved math. I always loved math, and I even still work in numbers and I love them. Yeah. And it's weird, but this just makes me like it even more because it tells the story of our creation. And this is exactly why I know that there is a creator, regardless of what you call him or her, like not even a person, but to me at least, just the, and even the Freemasons, the way that they call him, they call it the great architect of the universe, because you have to be a believer in a creator to be a Freemason. I don't know if you know that. So it's just really interesting that the way that they word that, like the great architect, and then they know all the secrets of the universe in this manner. And then to talk about, you know, the hurts and the attack on consciousness, like we've literally been at war, at least that we can like prove, since the 1940s. A specific attack on our consciousness via music. One of the interesting things that was done, there was a experiment where they watched how water crystallized when you would say certain words. So like we are made out of like 60-70% water.
Yes.
And they did an experiment on how water would crystallize as you said different things to it. And the thing that you were talking about, cymatics, is essentially how particles or liquid reacts to certain hertz in music. The word angel, they did the word peace, spirit, things like that. And it would create a beautiful shape. And then when they would say things like, you're disgusting, like, I hate you, it would just be all scattered. And they would play different music and the same thing would happen, where you, in that same manner, when you play something at 432, a beautiful shape would be created. And 432 is actually, it's the same frequency of the natural world and the universe. It measures at 432. Whereas 440, it does the same thing to us that you disgust me, I hate you. Like it creates this horrible, disgusting shape. And all across the world, they started implementing that music should be tuned at 440. And it is even said that the Rockefeller Foundation had an interest in making sure that United States also adopted that in 1935. So that was the war on consciousness that I'm talking to. And it also led into the musical cult control, which led into Tavistock Institute, which is where pretty much all of the music came from after that, that everyone was like obsessed with. So
yeah, that's true. You know, like I'm glad you touched the topic of music, you know, like when we talk about music, the healing music and everything, I really admire Avicii for that, you know, like God bless his soul, but he was the great guy. He was fighting for our children and everyone. And yeah, he was not suicidal. He did not do this. He did not suicide. Right. He was murdered. And I know that. And we all know that. And he was a great, great artist. He was a great DJ and everything. I know, like we the people were talking about, our friends were talking about that, how Avicii is might be using these healing frequencies in his music, you know, because whenever you listen to his songs, you feel something else, because you don't get bored from his music. You can listen his music in loop, right? So I think like we all think that Avicii is one of the master of using the healing frequencies and everything. And yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen that experiment you're talking about, the water and everything. But yeah, one of my friends, Stevie, talked about this thing earlier. And I was like, oh, damn. Yeah, that's what he talked about when we were talking about it. So I have a similar theory about it. So there was this tribe, I don't know. Okay, so I watched this video. So there are like more than 1,000 plants in one room, airtight room. There is no space for air, so plants cannot move, right? So they started playing violin and piano, the classical music, and they started creating the healing frequencies, and plants just started waving like this. You know, there was no air. there was no air. Literally, they proved everything before starting the video, that there is no air coming out. You can watch the plants. They're not moving a bit. And when they start the violins and pianos, the plants start like waving. And when they stop, the plant stops. So I was like, oh, damn.
Wow.
This is so beautiful. And this is one of the theory I read somewhere. I completely don't remember where I read this, and this was something about this tribe in India. I don't know if it's an Indian tribe or something else, but yeah, as I remember, it was an Indian tribe. When I was a kid, I read this theory that when these people used to cut the tribes used to live in the forest, when they wanted to cut the tree, so they didn't cut the tree, they started making some depressive music, the depressive healing frequencies around that tree. They started cussing that tree, you know, like they started swearing that tree that you are bullshit, you don't deserve this life, and something like that. And after a week or two, that tree started shredding. The tree started dying, and that tree died around like in 3 weeks. Why? Because all the people were feeding the negative frequencies to that tree. So they experimented this, the scientists, some like around that tribe, experimented this, and they found out, yeah, that's literally true. That's how our positive and negative frequencies works. So that's why people should aware about their surrounding, and they should always be positive, because negative energy can literally kill you. You might be the healthiest person alive in this world, but if you are negative, you are too negative, you might get killed someday, because you don't feel the world how other people does, right? You don't feel the surrounding how other people does. So that's why positive energy is so important, positive frequency is so important around us. So yeah, the when you were saying that water theory, I don't know, there's a video, I think, on YouTube, people can find, yeah. Right? So yeah, I haven't watched it, but when you were saying that, I remembered these two theories. So I thought that let's...
Exactly. Yeah. And I've heard that too. So like you have a plant, like they did an experiment in that same way and with house plants, mm-hmm. and they would talk shit to one of them. They would just say like, fuck you, plant, da 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 da. Yeah. And then they would say like, oh, plant, you're so great. You're doing so good. Like, look at how green your leaves are, you know, and just feed it with love. And that plant died that was talked shit to. And, you know, anyone who has experienced like being in a negative situation, you know, like for me, my daughter's father, like it was a horrible situation. And it was like, I was that plant that was dying just from being talked shit to all the time. And it's like, there were times when you do like, when you're like, when you've experienced something that negative on as a human, like you can actually feel yourself being like killed, yes. like slowly. And you have to pull yourself out and be positive. And my life has changed so much since getting out of that type of situation. And I always apply this knowledge to what's happening in our world right now. And that's why, you know, we talk about shills, we talk about black pills.
Yeah.
Like that's why that is so detrimental to what we're all trying to do, because you can't say that you believe in all of this Nikola Tesla research and the way, like literally if you believe that this is the way the universe is, which I mean, it is, it just is, then you're going to go and black pill it. You're literally creating the negativity that is going out into the world. So that's why we talk about it being a spiritual war, and people like you and I, and anyone else who's fighting and thinking and seeing the positive timeline at the end of all of this has to be more than the people who are black pilling.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Well, I see, you know, like we all were blackpilled at some of our, you know, like
during the awakening.
Yeah, during our awakening, because I knew 9/11 was like inside job. I knew that.
Yeah.
Right. I knew a few other things which were the conspiracies, like the moon landing.
Right.
The bubbles and the strings are attached to the suits and everything. So I knew that
the already. Vehicle oh, that they,
yeah,
vehicle. That was made out of paper towel rolls.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's true. Yeah. So that's why I was, I will say that I will black pill. I was black pilled. I knew about all these things, but I still didn't knew about the plan. I still didn't knew about, well, we all don't know the plan.
Right.
We don't know the plan yet, but still, you know, like we have this faith now, we have this hope now. So I came up with this theory. So if you remember that there was a time in 2010 or 2009 that people started saying that in 2012 the world will gonna end, right?
Yeah.
People started saying that. So what I think is that when you start thinking about all these things, that in 2009 they started this rumor that in 2012 the world will gonna end, like few people literally, not few, like few millions people literally believed it's gonna happen, people, because like there were like shills who were proving that it will gonna happen, like something like that, right? So when we that's what collective consciousness is. So when we think about the same thing, when we, you know, like when you and me and everyone around us thinking about the positive outcome from this situation we are facing right now, from this war, the spiritual war which was happening right now. So when we all think the positive, when we imagine the same positive energy and outcome for this war, it will gonna happen. We will manifest that. So if you think the negative imaginations about all these things, the negative thing will gonna happen. Maybe the world will not gonna get destroyed, but you thought that the world will gonna destroy. So maybe you didn't created the energy so powerful, but you created the energy collectively, which can destroy the vibrations around people. So maybe not all the people died in 2012, but maybe few people died out of just negative energies. So it's all about energy. It sounds silly, it sounds stupid, but it's not. It's not. That's how we work in collective consciousness. That's how we think and manifest the same thing, the same outcome. That is winning the war, winning the spiritual war. So that's why all of us, the light workers, says that be positive. Think about the outcome which we're going to get from the spiritual war, because it will not going to be easy, but it will be one of the craziest time which we can talk about while sitting in a backyard, you know, like.
Well, and also it's just like on the other side of things, you know, love is the highest frequency. Exactly. And the positivity is the highest frequency, whereas fear is the lowest. And that's why they pump out the fear porn constantly.
Yeah, the polarity.
Like, COVID. And like now I'm thinking like the whole shedding thing is a psyop, in the way that it's like, is shedding really a thing, or is it just another divisive tactic to be like, oh, I'm right. Oh, I'm right. And separate us more. And then like, obviously the race wars. And then like you said, they're Hindu versus Muslim.
Yeah.
Like, oh, people hate each other. Oh, people are killing each other. Oh yeah. People are shitty, and shitty things happen in this world.
Yeah.
But that's all they focus on, and it's all they pump out, and easier to control, easier to manipulate, easier to divide, have us fighting and not focusing for the positive outcome and fighting against the
common enemy.
Fucked up government.
Yeah, the common right. enemy. Yes,
exactly.
Yeah, that's true. You know, like we should focus on. So that's what I think about love. Humans are not capable of loving anything. We're not talking about mothers. Mothers love their kids, which we cannot go up to that level of love, right? But
right.
But yeah, what I mean to say is that we have polarity of love and hate, everything. But what I mean by this is not something negative, that we don't love each other and we don't have the power to love. No, I meant that everything is an illusion. So when you believe that, I talked about this in my past ever interview too, that, and I think it's the most important thing one should understand. And that's why I'm going to repeat this thing again. So when Lord Shiva, when you remember, I talked about the 36 elements he created while creating the world.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the sixth element was the Maya, the illusion. So what is illusion? Illusion is you. That's what I talked about in my past interview, that I see myself in you, in everywhere around me, in everywhere. So it's only me living in this world. For example, if I don't know your name, who are you for me? Just an imagination, right? Just an imagination, right, in my mind, because one day your face will fade away. But the memories I made with you, the name, it will gonna always be in my mind. How? So that means the whole existence of humanity is just an imagination. Right?
Right.
So the whole,
and
yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I always get like, not necessarily visions, but like these thoughts that keep going in my mind. And then there's also like the fact that the CIA declassified like the CIA documents that says we're living in a holographic world.
Oh.
And then there's also like the fact that 99.999% of our atoms are like empty space.
Yes, it is.
And so it's just like quite literally like, and then if you think about like particle physics, like the way that if it's moving really fast, that matter, like even like looking at my hand is just like atoms all moving really fucking fast, and that nothing is actually solid at all. And then the, I was going so, oh, okay. So like, if you ever looked at like the brain, like the cells in your brain compared to like the universe, it's like the same exact thing. And you can do also the same with like spirals. So like your DNA strand is a spiral. There's spirals all in nature, in the galaxies, shells, like a nautilus shell, the sunflower. You see the same spiral, yes. The same shapes. And it's like, as above, so below.
It is.
So no matter what you're thinking about, like, is the same. And like, for me, like the way that we procreate here on Earth and like have babies, the ultimate story of that is like Father, the creator, and then like Mother Earth is nature. And that's literally just like us all manifesting on Earth.
Exactly.
Living our lives. Yeah, like it's that fucking simple to me.
That's really simple. And that's really, it looks like something difficult to understand, but it's not, you know, like that's how the idea of self-love comes into the existence. Because if I see myself everywhere in everything, that means I'm self-loving. So for example, you know, like if I have a girlfriend and I do something, I give something to my girlfriend, which makes her happy, which makes me happy eventually. So that means I'm doing this for myself so that I can see her happy, so I can get happy. So I can see her, I can show her my love so she can love me, so I can feel loved, right? So if it's the idea about loving myself, so why don't you understand that you can love yourself by self-loving, right? So that's what it is, you know, like I'm alone in this universe, and that's how our karmic circle works, that if I think I'm alone in this world, and if I see myself in everywhere. So tell me one thing, will you hate yourself if you while driving a car, you crash it somewhere, and met with an accident, and after a year you have a broken bone or something forever, you know, like there's a rod or something. So will you hate yourself? No, you will never gonna hate whatever the fuck you do with yourself, mistakenly, accidentally, right? So why? So when we see ourselves in other people, we will never gonna hate them. Because we don't hate ourselves. We will never hate ourselves, right? So that's how the idea of the illusion works. That idea is,
yep,
that you is me is you works. So it is all the karmic circle. If you do good with people, the good things will happen to you. If you do bad things with people, the bad things happen with you. Why? Because you are doing good things to yourself and you are doing bad things to yourself. So all these good and bad things will come back to you. Right. Yep. So that's how the idea of
illusion is. They try so hard, yeah, to pit us against each other.
Exactly.
And it's because, well, when you even like, because I hate to say like left versus right, and like it's like awake versus sleep, really. But like even like as someone who, you know, I would consider myself to be awakened, I still sometimes fall back into their games. Like, for instance, like the latest one being like not wanting to hang out with vaccinated people. And even if there is really like some nefarious technology which I do think is a possibility, yeah, for sure,
yeah,
or how that would affect me. But it's just like I felt myself falling back into the fear porn, you know, and it just knocks me out of the place that I want to be, on a vibrational level. And it's, yes, like we hear people talk about this all the time, and like ascending to 5D. And like, I don't think, like, I'm not saying I understand exactly what it is, but I think that so many people have misconceptions of what it is. Like, we're not just like going to skyrocket and ascend into 5D. It's like, we're still going to be living here on this realm.
Yeah.
You're going to be aware of things in a different manner, and you're still going to be living amongst people who are in 3D. And I think that a lot of us are witnessing that, yeah, by seeing, like, I mean, the left and like the people who are like pro Joe Biden are fucking insane. and then I think about, they feel the same way about me.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's just such a weird thing.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. It's like, you know, like left feels right so far from them, right feels left so far for them. So why? Yeah, right. So which is left, which is right? We don't even know. Which is far, yeah, which is far to insanity, which is closer to insanity, we don't know. Which is, you know, like we don't know anything.
But But I trust my intuition. And that's the thing is, like, we talk about the five senses, but there's really six.
Oh, yeah.
The sixth sense is the lost sense. The sixth sense is your intuition, your gut, your guts. Tells you. Like, sometimes I don't need a shit ton of facts. Like, sometimes the facts, like, mess up what is actually real because they can manipulate facts. Like, we started at with the PCR tests and the amount of deaths, like, well, how many comorbidities did they have? Like, how sensitive was the PCR test? Like, this is the science that people are trusting. Whereas, like, I'm over here, like, that smells funny and I don't fucking trust it because it's all about, like, it all can be manipulated. So what is science really?
Exactly. Science is just to manipulate us, you know, like they labeled everything scientifically. So, you know, like, we don't get into all these deep conversations, deep stuff. So it's, you know, like, I, when I started my researching things, you know, like, everything I started researching, I felt I found that nothing is really tough. Not really, you know, like, it's just people who think themselves of, you know, like, who think themselves they're stupid. They will not going to understand these deep conversation because they don't want to. You just have to, you know, like, if you want to ride a bike, you just have to get up from your bed, have a bike, or if you don't have it, buy it and just ride it. That's how it works. You know, like, you don't have to think that it's so tough to ride a bike daily to get fit, you know, like, so it's just laziness, I believe. They have made us so lazy. So one thing, one really good thing about this small computer is that we have everything on our fingertips. We can understand everything on our fingertips, you know, like, we just have to find out, find the results. We just have to look deeper. If you're using Google, don't use it, use something else and dig deeper. You will gonna find everything, right? And that's how it is, that this thing can be your one of the most dangerous enemy too, because you are just using your phone just to watch videos and games, you playing games and everything,
right?
So just like kids do, right? So
yeah,
so that's how it is, you know, like, the tech, the power is us. We just have to know how to use it. Because tell me, who is experimenting in this whole world about hearts? Who is experimenting our any other part of the body? They're all experimenting our brains. Why? Because it's the true potential,
right?
So that's why they're doing it. That's why I think people think that they are too stupid, but they are not. But when they think all of themselves of stupid, they are becoming stupid. So
well, and that's the thing, is like, your brain, but more it's your consciousness, because it's your body, mind and soul, and your soul is your consciousness, and that's what they're really targeting. And like, this extended artificial intelligence in our hand that we carry around all day, like, kind of backfired on them on a little bit, because like you said, it's like, a lot of people waste their time playing video games, watching porn, doing all kinds of shit. But we also created a literal digital soldier where we can, we're in information warfare. We're in information warfare. This is what this is like the shit I preach all the time to my friends and family that, you know, they're probably so sick of hearing it. It's like, we are in war, information warfare, biochemical warfare,
indeed,
psychological warfare.
Yeah.
And so it's not a joke, what I'm talking about,
not
like, where they're not bombing us. They're sending us masks made in China with fucking Morgellons in it.
Yes,
like,
yes,
literally.
Yes.
So I told my mom, do not use those fucking masks. I'm not kidding. Do you want me to send you the videos of it? And like, I have a friend who has opened every single box that he's opened. He only buys them specifically for the purpose of looking. And he said he hasn't found one mask without them. And so, like, but back to what I was saying is, this phone, like, and to repeat what you said, is greatest tool or biggest enemy. And all of us here in the movement are using it to spread the information, to combat the propaganda that is being fed to the masses. So whether, and like, we all play our part in it, and we're all doing it in different ways. And it's just, it's like, honestly, such a beautiful thing to connect with people like all across the world, literally,
yeah,
who are all just like fighting for the greater good of humanity. Like, it literally is that serious. It's not hyperbole. Like, this is what we're doing.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. You know, like, I forgot to talk about the, when you talk about the intuitions and Akash, the guts and everything, I had this term, I don't know if you have heard about it, Akashic records.
Yeah, the Akashic records.
Yeah, Akashic records. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's just a different pronunciation because I'm an Indian.
Right? No, I'm just repeating it. So,
yeah.
But yes, yeah. And I, dude, I don't know if I'm saying it right either. So, I pronounce literally everything wrong.
No, that's the right word to say. Yeah, that's the right
pronunciation. But go ahead and,
yeah
explain so what that is.
In simple terms, Akashic record is just internet. You know, like how you do search everything on internet. If you want to find out anything, you just go out, go and Google everything, you know. And so that's how Akashic record is, downloading the cosmos. Our brain is a supercomputer. Our brain have, you know, like, have you ever felt this, that when someone tells you some theory, new theory, but sometimes eventually it happens that you already know that, but you haven't read this thing anywhere, but you know it. How? Akashic record, because you downloaded the cosmos, you downloaded the information from the upper realm, the higher realm. So that's why we have to be spiritually awakened, to download the cosmos, not only for information, but for the positivity, for everything we know, for everything we do. So it's just an internet, you know, like a few people, I know few yogis who don't even have read so many mystical books, so many sacred texts and everything, but they still know the meaning of life. They still know the meaning of these connections which we are talking about right now. How? Because Akashic record, they just download every information from the cosmos. So when you are awake, you download the cosmos and you download the information and you literally have it inside your mind. Don't know how, but you have it, because for that, for knowing it, how, you have to be spiritually awakened. Like, you have to open your third eye for that. you have to work on the pineal gland. Yeah. So that's what Akashic record is. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, it's basically Google, but like for your subconscious, like it's literally the record of everything that has ever happened, everything that will ever happen. And it's just like this hidden library that's we can all access, which I wonder if, you know, like Project Looking Glass, like they have that tool to like look into that. And if you combine their knowing of all of this crazy math, like maybe that's kind of plays a part into it.
Yes, I believe
I know it's kind of like the probabilities of what will happen, but it's like that sound like after just saying that it kind of sounds similar.
It sounds similar, and I believe that it somewhere connects the Project Looking Glass or something, because Project Looking Glass is not just one thing. Project Looking Glass was like so many things, right? They say they had the yellow box too. You know, like they joined the operation of Project Looking Glass and something else, so they can watch Hillary's future, if she's winning the election or not, right? So that's one of the important thing that to know about, that yellow box, which by the help of that you can watch the future, you can see the future. So there is thing that I don't know, but I heard somewhere, and I read it too, that there is there's a higher being judging us. So it doesn't matter if you have seen your future and you believe that it will going to happen. If you don't have the right intention, if you have the bad intention, that higher being will make sure that this future you have seen will not going to happen. So I think it all connects. Okay, so the thing is, the time travel thing is real, I believe. It's real, but the end note, the end flag is in the hand of, the end string is in the hand of the higher being, the creator. right? So if they don't want this to happen, it will not going to happen in your particular dimension, in your particular timeline for you.
So here's what I've been thinking lately, because I don't want to give too much of it away, because that's what I was telling you. I was recording or doing research for my solo episode, yeah. But I watched this video on a prophecy on what's happening now and relating it to stories in the Bible.
Oh.
And having these exact,
I'm glad you
prototype
this thing,
like these exact prototypes. Like, for instance, like one example, there was like this ancient king who lived that served the time for, say they served for 12 years. Now, today in our current society, there's the exact same type of situation. So like Hillary Clinton has Jezebel spirit, and she served in the same amount of time. Exactly. So if you take that down to a more like less publicized people, yes, like you and me.
Yes.
So I'm thinking like there's these, all these ancient templates. So if you know that, and then you know Tesla's math, and then you know, you have something like Project Looking Glasses about the probabilities, but you also know that there's all these different prototypes. I don't think it's like, oh, this one,
yeah,
Hillary Clinton is the only Jezebel. Like,
no,
they're like, I think that there's people throughout history of the universe that have lived almost my exact life, not my spirit, but like lived my exact life. And it's just a constant, like repeating sequence, the same way as Tesla, where people are on this karmic wheel, learning the lessons and like filling the different prototypes.
Well, I'm glad you touched the topic. I literally knew that you have some similar instances in Bible, because we have some similar instances in our Ramayana, our legend. So I'm going to tell you. So before I go to the Ramayana, yeah, that when you said this wheel, the whole existence of the humanity is based on the wheel, the wheel of life, or we say, you know, like it's all circular. That's how the vortex math was, right? The circle and the degrees, yep, around it, right? 360 degree, 320 degree, something like that, right? So I'm glad you, I literally didn't know about this thing you talked about, the Bible. So we have the similar incidents happened in the past, in our ancient history, in our Ramayana, in our God's scriptures. So there was, so there's a word called Leela in Sanskrit. So Leela literally means drama, playing a movie, playing a drama. So that's what is happening around us right now. People, so Leela, there was the term Ram Leela. Ram Leela was like, there was a Lord Ram, there was a prince of this state, Lord Rama, and there was his brother, and there was his wife, Sita. So when they were in the forest, living in a forest for like 14 years, they have some deeds to fulfill. So they went into the forest, the brother, Rama, and his wife. So they were living in a forest, and there was this demon king who kidnapped his wife, Rama's wife. And the demon who kidnapped Sita, the Rama's wife, was just an illusion, was not the real wife. So why this happened? Because it was written by the gods that this demon king have like gone far beyond from his deeds, and now he have to repay, he have to pay his debts, so pay his evil debts. So they sent Rama, Lord Rama, and Rama and Sita played this whole Leela where everyone was playing their role, and the king was killed literally, and everyone was fighting for Lord Rama. They had the army and they were fighting. Sacrifices were real, casualties were real, few people found their real powers, like Lord Hanuman, and there's a Lord Hanuman one in the story. So what I mean is that the whole thing was a drama to kill the demon king. The whole thing was set upon a storyline, but the things which were happening was real, in real time. So that's what I think is happening with us. We know what is the end. We know what will going to happen to them, but we are still playing our parts.
Yeah. And it's like almost like, have you ever seen Donnie Darko by any chance?
No. Yeah.
Okay. Well, there's a scene in this movie and I think what the movie is about could be debated because it's just one of those type of movies, but it's about time travel to me. And there's a scene where he can see the trajectory of where the people are going. So there's like a spear coming out of them and they just like follow along it. And it's like, kind of like that. It's like, we see what's happening, but we're just going to go along with wherever our spear is taking us.
Yes.
It's like fate. Where does fate meet free will? And I think that it almost plays into, because I kept thinking, I was like, well, what the fuck is the point if I'm just some template prototype? And it's like, maybe it is to like, you're learning these lessons. You're breaking. Maybe you do break out of where that spear takes you to learn your lesson, to get higher, to go through the reincarnation, to end up in a different prototype next time. Like you learn your lesson there. And the whole eventual point of life, regardless of like the religions that you subscribe to, is all about going back to be with the higher creator, the great architect, the God, like the soul, to like stop living in this dualistic life and be one with Christ consciousness. So
that's true.
You know, that's my two cents on it. This is what I've been thinking about a lot today.
That's true. You know, like if you talk about that, we cannot, alone, we cannot do anything. We cannot change anything. But when we are together, we are collecting our consciousness together. And maybe we are changing the frequencies around the world.
Absolutely.
Right.
We are.
Right. And it's good for our personal benefits too. You know, like, think about ourselves. You know, when we started red pilling ourselves, when we started researching about ourselves, we started researching that they are making poisons, giving us poison in the name of water and food.
Yeah. Right?
So then we started making the alternatives. We started eating the alternatives, right? We started eating something healthy. We stopped eating the burgers and the grease products, the grease food products and everything. So basically it's helping us too, right? We are getting into something good. So we are understanding our true potential too, right? We are understanding, we are getting our own powers back. So doesn't matter if it's all drama, doesn't matter if it's all already happened and we are just playing a part, like a prototype or something, but we are still evolving from ourselves and starting being a better self, right? So unless I'm doing this, I'm growing every day, I'm cool with being a prototype or something. I don't care. Yeah.
No, I don't necessarily look at it as a bad thing. I know. As long as you're not like a Jezebel prototype, exactly. Like you've got a lot of karma to work through.
Maybe you have to fulfill for the next three lives. And we were just chilling in heaven, right? We were just chilling heaven, having wine and watching you guys that you have to go three times more.
Well, this was awesome. Absolutely. This is the type of shit that I like love talking about, like the like why are we here, like the thoughts of our existence, and combined with the geometry of it, the math of it all. Like, it's like math is not like a sexy subject to a lot of people, but in fact, it's really sexy actually when you think about how it's the whole framework of everything that ever could have existed. But thank you so much for having this conversation with me and contemplating our existence.